such young talent on here. Kafusi, a way to start. The Kinder Gap has been thrown open for the young stars to score.
Eisenhuth again. Now a bit of ball playing for Taylor. And he's over. What about the debut so far from Matt Eisenhuth?
Back for another week, the Market Watch podcast. Recruitment, retention and retirement is what we're here to discuss. And a special guest this week, Peter Parr, the Cowboys General Manager of Football, will join us to discuss everything happening up in North Queensland. But before we do that, I want to give a big shout out to Draft Stars. Without them, there is no podcast. And if you want to play, all you have to do is pick a team of six. If your team beats the Big Dells, then you can win big. It's that simple. Head to draftstars.com.au for more information. Terms and conditions apply. You must be over 18. And remember, gamble responsibly. Gents, it's Origin Eve. So we're not going to talk too much about State of Origin, but the two Bennies are with me, Iken and Glover, and I want to get your prediction for the game, the score, and man of the match.
Singing, yippee.
It's not a score. You did this on 360 the other night. They couldn't nail down a comment from you, but I'm going to press on.
Queensland win. Yeah, well, like, when you're from north of the border, it's obscene to tip anything but Queensland when
sure.
it comes to State of Origin.
They wouldn't let you back in, would they?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
By how many and who's your man of the match?
You know what? How long did I think on this the other day when you asked me for the website, Benny Glover? I sat there and by the end of my thinking...
You got distracted and started thinking about something
else. I did.
Else.
But then when I got my mind back on it eventually, I thought, this is stupid. Why am I even thinking about this? Because no one really ever gets close, and if they do, it's a fluke, and man of the match can come from any number of players, particularly when you look at Queensland. So what do I end up saying? Cameron Smith and 8 points?
Yep.
There you go.
BG,
I'd say is the generally at ANZ, the scores are a lot closer. I said 8 points to New South Wales and Boyd Cordner.
Boo.
All right. And I've got New South Wales by four, and I've gone Jared Hayne as my man of the match. So in a moment, Peter Parr will join us to go through everything Cowboys. Let's not dwell on Origin. Let's move on.
Why are you wearing a beanie inside?
Why is he wearing a trench coat inside? What's this gang up on Nathan Day?
No, but the beanie looks stupid.
But I've got a bald head and it's a little cold. So you've got the hair buffer.
Yep.
So
it's cold inside, you're saying.
I'm just making up for it. It is a little bit, just on the knob.
I only just got here and I'm adjusting still to the temperature because it's bloody freezing outside. But so that's why I've gone the trenchy.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Trenchy looks good.
Mark Hughes Foundation.
Yeah, it's all for a great cause.
Yeah, exactly.
But wearing it inside is silly.
Well, silly, Billy. Moving on. Cowboys. Let's chat about Cowboys and Tamari Martin. Obviously, over the weekend, he made the move north of the border, out of Penrith. Where does he fit in, B.I.? How do you think that Paul Green's going to use Tamari?
Oh, I think he'll get one hell of an apprenticeship. I'm assuming he's a Kalen Ponga type. And with Kalen Ponga moving on to the Newcastle Knights, they've got someone there that can sort of sit in behind Kurt Morgan and Thurston, with a view that ultimately that the role will become Martin's, whether or not, you know, Morgan moves to seven and Martin to six, or mm-hmm. you know, they move Kurt into the halves. I don't know, but they obviously want a backup 6, 7, and 1. And from what I've seen, and it's only been in glimpses, he's certainly got the talent to do good things in this game. And up there under Coach Paul Green and in and around Jonathan Thurston, you think that could be the spot that he realises his full potential.
Do you feel a little bit for young Kyle Labert? Made his debut on the weekend, was pretty solid. Obviously a young kid as well.
No.
Not particularly. I think if you're good enough, you get your opportunity.
Exactly right, because if Labert is as good as you know, some think he can be, and I thought he was really calm and composed. He plays with plenty of time. If the talent that Labert showed, together with the talent that Martin showed, is in a fight, the best man will win. Mm. And at the end of the day, I think the competition will bring out the best in both young players, and ultimately, whoever plays the most consistent football, either in reserve grade or the chances they get in first grade, will ultimately get first crack at Jonathan Thurston's spot, or whatever spot gets opened up because of his departure.
At their age, when you're in a system like the Cowboys, you're going to get a crack during the season anyway, because the origin period takes away their playmakers. There's going to be injuries from time to time, so they'll get their shot. And if they if they play well, then they'll end up in the, in an NRL team somewhere. So,
yeah, I
don't see any issue with it.
B.I., you mentioned Callum Ponga just before. We obviously seen him have a handful more of first grade this year. Looking good, obviously, to Newcastle next season. Do you think the Cowboys will rue that decision not to make a stronger play?
Not really. I don't think they could afford to do anything more than what they did. So, and it was good money that Callum Ponga got offered, but sure. I think the cash that came out of Newcastle was sort of over and above what anyone that age or station in his rugby league career has ever been paid. So, good luck to him. But with young Tamari Martin heading up there, Cole Labert already showing glimpses of what he's capable of, Morgan Coote, I just think they've got enough depth. Jonathan Thurston's got another year to go. I mean, if Ponga gets to Newcastle and goes on to do great things in rugby league, I just think everyone will be happy for him. I don't think they'll, you know, I mean, who hasn't had that moment? I mean, I think the Broncos passed up on Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston. It was the Bulldogs who let Jonathan Thurston go after a premiership to go. I mean, everyone has those moments. That, you know, if round 15 taught us anything, rugby league is great at producing quality young talent, you know, so you don't have to wait long for the next star to sort of come off the assembly line, and you've just got to be in the market. So if it's not Ponga today, then it may very well be Tamari Martin tomorrow, even Cole Labert.
The signings that the Cowboys have made have been few and far between. They're very much in a retention focus. There's a list of names in front of you, gents. So I'm going to read them out. While I do, tell me who's the next priority re-signing.
You like
why.
This game.
Yeah, I do. It's a bit of fun. So still off contract in 2017 is Corey Jensen, Pat Kafusi, Kyle Labert, Blake Leary, Gideon Gela-Mosby, Ben Spina, and Ray Thompson. BG, I'll start with you. If you're Peter Parr, who's the next bloke that you're re-signing and why?
Maybe Pat Kafusi. Yeah, I think he's got talent. He's been in the Emerging Maroons program, I believe.
He has,
and he's sort of
yes.
been spoken about a little bit as a guy who could potentially end up at Origin level. So I think he's probably a pretty good guy to go for.
Yeah, I'm with BG. I think Pat Kafusi. I mean, I reckon Felice Kafusi is probably going as good as Cohen Hess.
He's outstanding.
Yeah. How good.
Yeah,
very unlucky to miss the Queensland
and
side.
And technically very sound, you know, like makes smart decisions. And he's good on the wrestle. You know, Melbourne have got this great ability to produce tidy players, and I know we've sort of drifted there, but
that's fine.
I reckon in that family there's obviously enormous amounts of talent. Paul Green, a very good technical coach. I see a great future for Patrick Kafusi. And the other guy who I've really enjoyed when I've seen him at his best is Gela-Mosby.
I believe he's close to re-signing for another 2 years. Maybe we'll ask Peter Parr about it because he joins us on the line now. G'day, Parry. Welcome back to the podcast. Hey, guys. Nathan Ryan here. Really sorry to do this, but after listening back to the podcast, there's actually a technical error when we had Peter Parr on recording his Q&A with us. So it's actually not a quality enough interview for us to put it to air. So I apologise. We won't be able to provide you with that Peter Parr interview. To paraphrase what he said, and by the way, I'd love to blame it on Benny Eichen fiddling around with the keyboard, but he doesn't do any of that. So I can't pass the buck on BI. It was just a technical error. But to paraphrase basically what Parry said, we spoke a bit about the salary cap and the difficulty of not knowing what the cap will be in 2018. He said that the Cowboys are in a better position than most clubs because they've been focusing more on retention than recruitment, and that traditionally is a lot easier to do. So they're sitting in a pretty good, a pretty comfortable spot in terms of their salary cap. He also confirmed what I said prior to throwing to the interview with Parry, that the Cows are in advanced discussions to extend Gideon Gela-Mosby another couple of seasons. So that's great news. He spoke about the addition of Tamari Martin to the roster and that Tamari is a player that he's chased on a number of occasions. So persistence has paid off. He's got his man there. They intend to use him in a halves role, and he will learn under Jonathan Thurston and Michael Morgan, and also compete for that halves position, whether it's in origin time or next season, you know, maybe shifting a Michael Morgan into a different position. He will compete with that spot moving forward with the likes of Kyle Labert, who was very strong in his NRL debut last weekend. We also spoke about retaining players and the competition that the club had for the likes of Matt Scott and John Asiata. And he said that a lot of the time, because there's been so much stability in the Cowboys, not only their roster, but their management, their coaching structures, a lot of the players, they tend to go with the devil they know opposed to the devil that they don't. So when you've got all that stability off the field, it certainly translates to on the field. So that's been a massive selling point for Parry and crucial in the negotiations of keeping the likes of Taumalolo and John Asiata. They're probably the nuts and bolts. He also spoke at length about Jonathan Thurston, his role as a mentor to the young halves. And this weekend, JT will play his 300th game. It'll be against the Panthers. And for a Cowboys record, because he obviously started his career with the Bulldogs, he overtakes Matt Bowen as the most capped Cowboy this weekend. He confirmed that Jonathan Thurston, providing that he comes through unscathed from Origin 2, he will 100% take the field and make the most of that milestone match. So again, folks, I'm really sorry that we've had this technical issue. The Peter Parr's interview isn't able to go to air. We'll look at bringing Parry back on later in the year and moving forward, certainly trying our hardest to resolve all of these technical issues that we've had, because it's certainly no fun for you, and believe me, it's no fun for us either. So thank you so much for understanding. Here's the rest of the show. Well, there he was, Peter Parr, and interesting to hear that Tamari Martin, they had a couple of cracks and finally got their man. Persistence pays off.
He's got a good eye for talent, Peter Parr. In fact, one of the best I've seen. And when he knows a good thing, he goes after it. And if he doesn't get it the first time, he'll go back
try again. Another man that has a good eye for talent is your father-in-law, Wayne Bennett. And we've seen no Anthony Milford sidelined with an injury. Ben Hunt, he's been named on the bench in jersey 17. What role do you see him playing this weekend, BG? Can he be that utility?
Oh, of course he can. He can come onto the field and when legs are tiring, and sort of maybe that's why he's doing it. Bennett's trying to get him to rediscover his running game when there's fatigued defenders. But
that's how he started his career, if you remember. He was coming on.
He played a fair bit of nine, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Played a lot of utility. In fact, I go as far to say as I think,
like 70 or 80 games.
Most of his first 100 games were played off the bench.
They were, So, look, he's been there and he's done it before, but clearly it's an intriguing storyline. Having signed with the Dragons, then Bennett not being happy with his form, going back to reserve grade. Well, Milford goes down and still Hunt's not recalled into the starting team. It's a watch this space kind of storyline.
Benji Marshall, the more that he plays in the Broncos side, he looks getting more and more comfortable, back to the Benji that we know and love, and a lot more composed than the Benji that we saw at the Dragons. Are you finding the more that Benji plays with Brisbane, the more that you're liking what you see?
Well, he'll be under strict instructions from Wayne Bennett. You know, this is your time here at Brisbane will be remembered as much for what you don't do as you do. Yeah. And Benji just has to put the magic tricks, back in the hip pocket. He needs to know and understand, and this is not an easy thing to do. And I used to have chats with him while he was on NRL 360 last year, and sort of urged him to go and watch Darren Lockyer's last sort of 3 to 5 years, where Lockie could win games for his team and he'd never get tackled with the ball. You know, would very rarely do brilliant things, but his game management just, it was good from fullback. But at 5'8", you know, in those last 3 to 5 years, it went to a whole other level. And Benji has got the skills and the footy smarts to be able to play that kind of game. And I'm imagining that that's kind of the advice he's getting from Wayne Bennett. Mate, you don't have to come here at your age and be the match winner. We've got another. We've got enough blokes that can do that. Mm. I just need your experience and your calmness and your composure and your know-how when it comes to getting results to be your primary focus, which just means get in the grind, play the long game, and basically bring the rest of the team along with you.
And that's key, isn't it? Especially with a young half and an inexperienced half in Nick Arima. You need that level head.
Well, they can get they can get flighty.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, when they're kind of put on the back foot or the game is slipping away, and I went through this as a young half myself, is your tendency is to want to chip and chase your way to victory. Now, the chip and chase is the metaphor for doing something, you know, brilliant and spectacular. You know, whereas, you know, Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk and Darren Lockyer, all the great game managers, you know, they're doing stuff in the 5th and the 10th minute that get sort of results in the 30th and the 35th minute. They're playing the long game.
Yeah, staying the course, back in the game.
Yeah, it's like a game of chess. They're just one move at a time, and they know if they stay disciplined with it and remain patient, that the result will be there, and sometimes right in the last sort of 3 to 5 minutes of the match.
Mm. As we look to next year, Ben Hunt is obviously out of the equation. He'll end up at the Dragons. Nick Arima, have we seen enough of him at halfback to think that he is their long-term premiership half?
He's a tick for me.
Yeah?
I reckon it depends a lot on Anthony Milford. I think Milford has to be able to take his game to the next level where he's actually the chief playmaker. He runs the show. And because I haven't seen from Nick Arima that ability to game manage especially. So I think for that halves pairing to work, one of them's going to have to step up and sort of steer the ship. And I think it has to be Milford.
Really?
I heard an interesting story, and you may have heard this firsthand, that Anthony Milford went up to Wayne Bennett and said that, "I want to be your senior half. I want to be the man that steers the ship." And he and Darius Boyd and Ben Hunt had a bit of a chat during the preseason and leading into the trials about controlling the game, and Milford would be the man.
And that's your wild card. You mentioned him before, is Darius Boyd. And I think probably Benny, I can believe this, that Boyd's such an accomplished ball player and almost like a second 5'8 in the backfield, that he can be the one who's the organiser and the other two just play their role. Is that what you think?
Yeah, it's you've got to strike balance amongst those four players, 9, 7, 6, and 1. And, you know, often we think that you need a calm, composed game manager in either the 7 or the 6. But if they're more flighty types and they can do brilliant things, then maybe you just need to craft a game plan to get the best out of them. And, you know, Andrew McCulloch and Darius Boyd, you know, fill the role that, you know, is often filled by the 6 and the 7 in other teams. Obviously, it's a bit different positionally, but in terms of the know-how and the experience and the playing of the long game, you know, those attributes can be delivered by Boyd and McCulloch. You've got to shape your team around what you've got.
But have we ever seen that in a premiership team, though? The dominant playmaker is the fullback. I don't think we have. Like, maybe the game's going that way, and maybe it will evolve so that a dominant fullback is the main playmaker in a premiership team, but I don't think we've seen it yet.
It evolves when someone makes it work.
Yeah.
That's, you know, because...
Well, that is evolution,
that's exactly
it?
Right. Melbourne Storm, you know, brought along a style that got copied to high heaven by so many other teams, and it became the new way. Yeah. But it kind of only arrived there because Craig Bellamy said, "Look, I've got this sort of list, I've got this sort of game plan in my head, and I'm just going to make it work. It's what I know. It's going to be my style." And because he made it work... Not because it worked, he made it work and recruited players that could fit inside that system. Everybody else thought that was the new way. That was the game. That was the way the game was evolving. And all of a sudden, you know, last couple of years, you get Ricky Stewart and Anthony Griffin arrive at Penrith and Canberra, and it's all footloose and fancy free. A lot of second phase, off the cuff play, what you see. And we thought that's the way the game was going to go. I love it when, you know, our 16 teams have very different personalities.
Yeah.
You know, coach your own style.
100%.
You know, recruit the players that are going to work inside your system, but don't base it on anyone else.
Yeah. One trend I think that we've seen lately in a premiership winning squad is if their fullback is on, having a breakout year, you look back to Lachlan Coote, Ben Barber, when the fullback is on, then you're going to be giving it a red hot crack. And he doesn't have to be, say, your main voice, your marquee man, but he's got to be, you know, the second best player on the team, and that's a trend that I think we're seeing more and more. And Melbourne, you know, they're back to their best because Billy's back to his best.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I personally believe Penrith are going to get their season back on track because
Moylan's at
5'8".
Yeah, not playing fullback.
But there, I guess the difference with them is Peter Wallace is out of the side, so there's no experience nine, so to speak. Your seven is Nathan Cleary, who's in his second year of first grade. Yeah,
I'm not disagreeing with you, sure. but you know, in the job we do, we find certainty in trends. You spoke about trends, and so you'll find evidence to support this theory that you've got in your mind. And just about anywhere in rugby league, if you build a theory, you'll find the evidence you need.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you're coaching or what your team is, that you have to make something work. Mm. And it's you know, the style between team A and team B, one is as arbitrary as the next. You know, but it's the good coaches who are able to turn up at a specific organisation and just make dessert out of the ingredients they've been dealt. Do you know what I mean?
One conspiracy theory that's floating around the World Wide Web is that Ben Hunt has been pushed out of the side because he won't be there next year. Now, you know Ben Hunt better than we do. What would have the drop to reserve grade done for his confidence? And if you're the Dragons, are you getting a little bit worried that, you know, Wayne Bennett has been critical of his running game?
I spoke to Ben and Shane Walker, who had Ben Hunt in their team last week, and they said
they got a win as well, didn't
they? Yeah, and he was exceptional. He said his attitude when he came back to training was as good as they've seen from any returning NRL player, and his performance in our side was superb. You know, which speaks volumes about Ben Hunt. And you know, they hadn't known Ben Hunt at all. They hadn't had much experience with him as a footballer. And I think it was Shane Walker who said to me, he said, we were watching him train, Ben and I, and had a couple of conversations throughout the session. And he said, you can just tell class. You can, when class is in your footy team and around your training session, it sticks out. And he said, Ben Hunt is all class. Mm. Yeah.
If you're the Dragons, you're feeling all right, BG. You're going to back the plan. They've lost Dugan. Widdop's form has been a bit iffy since re-signing. How are you feeling?
Not overly confident. I think, obviously, the proof will be in the pudding. We've got to see Hunt and Widdop, how that combination comes together. But I think Dugan's a big loss. Mm. I think they'll be pretty dirty with losing Dugan, despite the fact that I still do believe that fullbacks these days have to be ball players as well. With Hunt and Widdop, two experienced quality playmakers in the 6 and 7, I think it's less important. So with Dugan there, I think that would have been a really potent force.
Before we wrap up, BI, if you're the Dragons and you can't sign a fullback for next year, your options are Jay Field, Widdop, or Jason Nightingale. That's what you've got there. Oh, and Matt Dufty as well, who's been playing New South Wales Cup. Who jumps out at you as the logical number one to start the year?
Look, it's easy for me because I'm a massive Jason Nightingale fan. I seriously am. He is all footballer, that bloke. You know, he's got, you know, we're talking about teams that, you know, need to embrace their own personality. This is a bloke who is so comfortable in his own skin. I mean, have you ever seen anyone do it the way Jason Nightingale does it? Looks awkward at times.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes very natural to him. And
I feel like the awkwardness works for him, you know, that low, dangly running style. It's so unique.
He's grooved his faults and crafted a game that works. It's effective. And, you know, he doesn't apologise. At no stage have I watched Jason Nightingale pretend to be something that he's not. If he's on the wing, he's at centre, he's at fullback, he does it the way Jason Nightingale does it. So that would be the selection for me.
This weekend, we're heading to draftstars.com.au to pick a team of six. And if we beat Wendell, we win big. All you have to do is go to the website. Terms and conditions apply. You must be over 18 to take part. And remember, gamble responsibly. That's all from us for round 16 of the Market Watch podcast. Go the Blues. Enjoy your footy this week. And we will catch you next week for another edition of the podcast.